Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Mike, I know you're in Proverbs, but you're probably not in chapter 16. Verse 33. So I want to follow up from the introduction this morning to Esther about the providence of God. And honestly, professing Christians and true believers in our day do not know enough about the providence of God. Baptists have even consigned it to Presbyterians to talk about. The providence of God, the sovereignty of God, election, those are things that when I was growing up, they were saying, oh, those Presbyterians believe that stuff. And lo and behold, it's in the Bible. We want to look at, again, God's providence outside of Esther. Verse 33, Proverbs 16, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we should always be amazed at you, not by our making up things about you that other religions do about their God. But Lord, because you're the true God, and because in your very nature and acts you are an amazing God, you do whatever you please with all power and wisdom. Your love is expressed and carried out in the world. And Lord, in times of trouble, times of danger, you are a rest to us, a fortress, our rock. And Lord, we'll need that all the week to come, as well as today. And when the times that it looks like everything's out of control, Lord, your people know from your word that not only is not everything out of control, but nothing is out of control. All is being carried out by our providential sovereign Lord. Help us to be comforted by that, Lord. We do pray for change in the world, because when we pray to you, Lord, you're the one and only God who can bring it to pass. But you do not need our help. You're able in yourself, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a get-together, as we do here at times, and you, growing up, you get together, have a picnic. Well, our picnics growing up, when I was growing up in North Carolina, you'd have a picnic, and to the best of my knowledge, people just brought what they wanted to bring. I think Kentucky Fried Chicken was involved. But when people made stuff, they made whatever they made. They made baked beans, they made potato salad or whatever. And that is called in the world potluck. It means that we don't know what's coming. Anything could come. We trust that when we get together, not everybody brought the same thing. That we have an actual well-rounded choice of foods. That's potluck. That's not what we do here all the time. We might do that some. Sometimes we have pot Debbie, because Debbie says bring this and that, and so people bring pot. It's pot Debbie, because Debbie has said, well, this is what we're having. This is our recipe. This is what we're aiming to do. But in the face of pot luck, Christians have periodically changed the name of these gatherings to pot providence. So we don't do potluck, they say, we do pot providence, which means not that we tell people what to bring, but that God orders what people bring. It's not based on luck. Luck is a worldly thing. Many Christians have foregone the use of the word luck. We know what it means, that it's an unseen occurrence, something that we didn't, you know was coming. We don't have any part in what happened, and it just worked out that way. Cindy was out of ice cream the other day, and I said, "Well, you're out?" She's a little ice cream bar she likes to get in the evenings. Now, I love for her to have them because it makes her happy to have them. "You're out?" Yeah, she said she was out. I said, "Look around in the freezer." And you know, that never works. There were two in there. Was that lucky? Well, what happened was that, you know, we purchased them a while back and stuck them over there. And I mean, it seemed lucky, but it was, in that case, it again, is like everything else, is providential. Luck is a mindless thing. Christians use that term to mean just something that popped up that seems fortuitous, good luck, or not fortuitous, which would be bad luck. So, and there's an undercurrent in the world that the things that happen are haphazard, that nobody controls them. Some people win the lottery, they were lucky. You got a good grade on a test when you were in school that you didn't study for. I lucked out there. I'm playing golf. I mean, good gracious. Sometimes you knock a ball in the creek, hits a rock, and pops back up on the fairway or on the green even. And you're likely to say, "Well, I got lucky there." But luck is a concept that is not biblical. Although the world puts a lot of stock in it, and they do things to make themselves luckier, which you can't do, but that's luck. So at its rawest nature, luck is unguided and capricious. Just happens. You can't predict it. It's how the world deals with differing outcomes among people. Why is that person got money and I don't have money? Well, they're luckier than I am. Why do some people get sick and some people escape? Well, it's luck. And in doing that, they consign it to just random molecules going around, and we didn't have anything to do with it, and it just happened. Just the way life is. So we don't know what determines it and what distinctions are made. But Christians believe in providence, not fatalism. Fatalism is the belief that nothing you do has any purpose in the world. Just everything's already laid out, and we're no use to seek God if he doesn't, you know, save us. It's nothing we can do about it. Fatalism is, you know, kind of a thing where people believe everything's locked in place. Well, the Bible does teach us that prayer is effective, that obedience is blessed. There are things that are consequential in the Bible. But providence doesn't overrule consequence. A person is stupid. I guarantee you that if you go out in the woods and find a sturdy oak tree and bang your head against it several times, the consequence will be that you'll have a headache. And you can't just say, "Well, I'm just going to, you know, trust in God to keep me from this headache." You know, if you'd have trusted in God, you wouldn't have bumped your head against a tree so many times. So there are consequences to human choices, and you see that in the Bible all the time, where people reject wisdom, and they say, "Oh, how I hated wisdom. I've done foolish things." The Bible doesn't eliminate that. Providence of God does not remove the responsibility that people have to obey God and to do the right thing, or the consequences that come from forsaking that. We saw that also in Israel and Judah. When they disobeyed God, they fell, and God told them they would, and that was the direct consequence of that. But providence reaches to a very deep and hidden part of our universe that is in God. That the things that occur in this world occur from God. we can't trace that. We don't know why one person has this or this person has that or doesn't have that, except it's hidden in the mind of God. God has chosen these things. There are many times, as I got older, more now than when I was a younger person, is that I'm thinking, what is it like to not grow up in the foothills of North Carolina? I mean, what is it like? You can tell me. I thought that was a blessed place after I had enough sense to see what was going on. I had to suffer through summers out of school playing golf every day. Suffered. Oh, it was such a hardship. Sometimes I got sunburned on my arms. Why me? Providence is God at work. And every free act of humankind, and I say free act, people with free agency making decisions based upon what they want to do. And that's going on right now in the world. The world is doing things like they want it to be done. And they're aspiring to do more bad things than what they're doing now. And whether they'll accomplish that or not, we'll see. But every free act, even every foolish act of humankind and all of creation is guided by God to his appointed end. And nothing, even those who rebel against God and do not do his will, do his will. This is the nature of the depth of the providence of God. And without the need for God to alter the character and tendencies of any human being, God accomplishes his purposes. A person does not have to be made different for them to accomplish the will of God. Things, as I mentioned this morning, do not have to become better for God to make things better. We don't need a certain number of people to be of a certain nature for God to accomplish his purpose. None of that is required. Even those in fervent rebellion against God, the devil himself accomplishes the will of God, not willingly. Don't you think the devil, knowing what he knows, he's got the Bible. Don't you think he's read all the way to the end of the Bible? Do you think the devil knows what's in the Bible? So what is he doing? The Bible says at the very end in Revelation that he's going to get more hostile because he knows his time is short. Wouldn't you think he would say, whoa, now I'm stopping this evil crusade right this second. I'm not going to do this anymore. I can see where it's going. What does he do? More, more, more. Push it more. The devil himself is a servant under the providence of God. The devil cannot, in all of his rebellion against God, get outside of the sovereignty of God. It really is something, and we see it in Esther. We saw a similar thing in 1 Samuel the other week, where Eli spoke to his sons about their evil behavior, and they would not listen. Remember what it said, why they would not listen? Because it was the Lord's desire to put them to death. Even their wickedness, which they would not turn from, and they could not turn from, because God's providential sovereign power was at work. Now in this verse, 33, you cannot get much more of a chancy thing than the lot. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. One fall, we went back to Columbia Bible College. In the spring, when we leave, The men, at least on the men's side of the dorm, would fill out a place where they would give their preference as to what dorm they wanted to live in the next year. There were three dorms. And we got back and found out that just about everybody had asked for the same dorm, the middle one. There was a refrigerator downstairs, a TV, and a ping pong table. I'm sure it had nothing to do with it, any of that. That was the main building, the main part over there. It's where the dean of men was, had the office. It was a little lounge downstairs. It was a nicer dorm. I spent, by the way, 4 years in that dorm in my time there. Lucky? So we got there, and they said, well, everybody asked for the same dorm, so we did what the Bible says. We cast lots. And who, how the lot turned out, that's how we chose where you live. Well, a lot, what we would call, it would be like, it's more than flipping a coin, but it's the same random, non-planned thing. It's more like throwing dice, more than a few dice. But a lot, the word means a pebble. And it basically, you'd have different colors of small stones, and however you figured out what to do, you would cast a lot. It might be just like our dice, where you have different size it can rest on, so the color would show based upon how it rested. So it might be a bunch of reds or a bunch of blues or whatever, and then that's how you decided. And people played games with that, but also the space in Canaan was divided up by lot. The tribes of Israel by lot were given the land they had. The land they inherited was by lot. When Jonah was in the whale or was on the boat and the storm came up, who's the cause of this storm? They cast lots and Jonah was found to be the one, and he was. So it was a way in which people would determine the will of God, or an answer to a mystery. And so the lot was used to find out what should happen, what they should do. There's a lot in Esther that we'll see in Esther 3. There's lots when you try to find out, like with Jonah, what people have done wrong. They did that with Achan. They cast lots as to which tribe of Israel would be the tribe of the king when Saul was chosen as king. They cast lots. They eliminated families, and they eliminated individuals within families, and they would get down to the one that was chosen. So it was a way to determine the will of God. And the pervasiveness of God's providence is stated here in a game of chance, where it says the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. On our side, it's chance and aimless and purposeless. If you took six dice and cast them into the lap or on a table, you think you get six sixes up? It's possible, isn't it? There are other possibilities too. We would say, well, there's no way we can know what's going to come up. We have no way of knowing what numbers will come up. That's like a lot. Notice what it says about it. The lot is cast in the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. That's odd for us because we can't decide anything. I know there are people who can make trick dice to come up the way they want to, but to die straight up, you don't know what's coming up. You can't make it come up. I don't know how to play craps, you know, with dice. I never learned that. But I think if you roll an 11 or a 7 or something like that, it's supposed to be pretty good, but I don't know. Snake eyes, I hear, is bad. But we can't make that happen. It's completely by chance. But the Lord here makes it, it's all part of His providence. Now, that doesn't mean that God is cheating at dice or some such, or that He cares about games of chance to that, you know, in itself. But that nothing on earth happens outside of God's sovereignty and providence. So something that happens in this world, whatever it is God's providence. There's not important things that God uses His providence on. And then the unimportant things, He just lets it go however. Every single act of every creature on earth, every day of every second, all are within the providence of God. If that doesn't make your brain itch a little bit, that you're not listening. Because that's amazing. Of the control that the Lord has on events that just seem to us to be haphazard and aimless. Every decision from every game where lots are cast is from the Lord. That doesn't mean you can justify all your decisions on the basis of casting lots. Many a young foolish man would see a pretty girl, take a couple of dice, probably one dice, and roll it and say, if I get anything less than a six, that's a girl for me. And cast the lot. And oh, the Lord has spoken. Well, no, all that means is the Lord, if a three came up, the Lord had providentially chosen to make you look like an idiot that day. And you've fulfilled the plan. But it's not something that the Lord says, oh, I had no idea that was going to come up. We still make decisions based on facts, knowledge. Some things are already told to us. We don't need to pray about even. We've been told what to do. Basically, there's a lot of confusion today because people don't know the Word of God and don't accept the authority and sovereignty of God. If a man says, you know, Lord, should I become a woman? That's already been decided. You don't need to cast lots for that. That's done. You know, my name is Adam. Should I marry Steve? That's already been taken care of. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So, no, I'm not supposed to do that. It's already decided. But we make decisions that do not fall outside the sovereignty of God. None of the lots that were cast fall outside of God's purposes. He's doing something. His mind is infinite. He can take in all the events of all the world without any issues of it just being too much. His knowledge and care are at the absolute fullest extent in this world. And when we decide and make a decision, do something, we will never fall outside of God's sovereign will and His providence. Even foolish decisions based on the flimsiest of reasons. People make foolish decisions all the time and do foolish things and act on foolish data to do foolish acts. And still that is within God's providence. God even gives people what they want sometimes in His providence. When it's not good for them, but they've chosen an evil, and we see that in Romans 1, that He gives what they want. So even the lot. You can't get a more random event. I'll throw a lot, see what comes up. The lottery. Your chance of winning the lottery is not 1 in 5. or 10, but like 1 in 50 trillion or something, it seems. And so you figure it's just not going to happen. And it happens to some people. And who decides that? Well, it's of God, but it's not necessarily a blessing. A lot of people win the lottery, they destroy their lives. A few other verses bear this out too. Proverbs 16:1, just up from where we are with our text. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Again, we make a plan in our heart. We decide what we're going to do. What comes out? The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:9, just down from that. "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Oh, but wait a minute. I don't believe in the Lord. I don't want the Lord to direct my steps. And so what does the Lord do? Well, let me just step right off my throne and become something that I'm not, and you can take over for a while. No, he doesn't. The steps are directed by the Lord. Proverbs 19:21, "Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." There are people who are imagining vain things. Psalm 2. Kings, they take counsel against the Lord and against his anointing. And their plans are against God. And they plan all sorts of evil things. And it's going on now. There are people that want to destroy this country as fast as they possibly can. And they've been doing a pretty good job. But their plans are not over the counsel of the Lord. Now, what the Lord's going to do, we don't know. But they're not outside the counsel of the Lord. The counsel of the Lord will stand. That's why we pray to the Lord and not to Joe Biden. Proverbs 20:24, "Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way?" How did this happen to me? Well, it's hard to figure out sometimes because all of your steps are ordained by the Lord. So how then can you understand what's going on? Your decision does not carry the day. The Lord's decision did. Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes." I absolutely love that verse. We're always upset about people who are in charge. And the king, a president, or a congressman, or a senator, or a mayor, or a governor. It's hard to find a more incompetent bunch than we have in our day. And if it was just them with all their malice and vindictiveness against God and against his anointed, if that was all there was, we would be crying buckets. But the king's heart is not independent. The king's heart, oh, they drunk in all that power. They got in there and inhaled all that power in Washington. Well, I can do anything I want to now. No, you cannot. The Lord may allow you to make a big move. You'll find out in Esther that God likes to let wicked people have a lot of rope with which to hang themselves. And he chooses to do that. So some people are going, I'm really making good. I'm making decisions. I've got power. And all it is God letting the string out before he jerks the hook and plants it. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like channels of water directing it how he wants it to go. turning it wherever he wishes sovereignly. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. It means you can't decide to do something against the Lord and actually accomplish what you hope to accomplish. You can do things against God's will. In a daily sense, in a practical sense, and his will of command, as it's called by theologians. But by his sovereign will, you cannot get out of that room where God's sovereign will rules. There is no counsel against the Lord. That doesn't mean men can't do wicked things, and that God does not allow men to show their wickedness and to justify in the end the vastness of his judgment against them. This is what, you know, you realize this, what some people are doing is making God's judgment more welcome on people who are wicked because they are proving God's wrath to be just and right later on. And they're amassing all of that now. They're filling up to the measure the fullness of their sins. Finally, Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. You prepare, we should prepare. You got battle, you better get your horse ready. You go to battle, your weapons better be loaded. But victory belongs to the Lord. And one thing we see in Scripture is sometimes people who should not win a battle win battles. And people should not lose a battle lose a battle. Why? Because victory belongs to the Lord. That's God's providence. And as our text says, every decision, it's every decision, even when you just throw a billion dice up into the air and let them fall wherever they would. It's every decision is from the Lord. And if that stretches our minds, it's a good thing, because it's better than having our minds blown like they are today with all the wickedness going on around us. Our minds are stretched because of the vastness of and the wonder of God's providence. It's such a great thing to think about. It will encourage us and enable us to understand that everything that's happening now, even that which is wrong, is within the sovereignty, the providence of our great God. Let's all stand. Billy, would you dismiss us?